This is John Wilson. I'm 28 years old now, the sometimes long-haired, sometimes conservative product of the rock and roll age. Thanks to radio and records, I grew up to be a music addict. I like it hard, I like it very loud, and I would prefer it to say something meaningful, but that's negotiable. Over its 25-year history, by far the most pervasive theme in rock and roll has been good old male-female relationships. Love, rewarded or unrequited. You hear it tune after tune, day after day, and associate everything with it, whether you're listening to the radio or working in a radio station. But rock and roll has had a lot more to say to us on a multitude of subjects in a multitude of ways. I think that rock musicians are my generation's version of politicians. They've contributed varying opinions on all parts of our lives, even when the only decision we wanted to make was between a Corvette and a Jag.
I was cruising in my Stingray late one night, and an XKE pulled up on the right. Turn it on, wind it up, blow it out, GTO.
But the Cuban Missile Crisis, followed closely by the assassination of John F. Kennedy, suddenly turned rock and roll serious. Young people took out their frustrations at the world in music that could reach 100 million of their brothers and sisters.
We're 52%, they write the TV shows for us. We're 52%, they design the clothes for us. We're 52%, they play the songs we dig. We're 52%, and we make big business big.
Think of all the hate there is in Red China, then take a look around to Selma, Alabama. You may leave here for 4 days in space, but when you return, it's the same old place.
Ah, how does it feel to be on your own with no direction home, like a complete unknown?
...1967. The summer of love erupts into violence across North America. You don't have to be an eyewitness to remember what Gordon Lightfoot is talking about.
And the people rise in anger, and the streets begin to fill, and there's gunfire from the rooftops, and the blood begins to spill. Like day in July.
He laid out the rifles, he loaded the shotgun, he stacked up the cartridges along the wall. Need them for his conversation. If it went as he planned, then he might use them all.
Harry Chapin's grisly story coincided with a time when youth was alerted to another fact of life by rock and roll.
It's too hard today. I hear every mother say the pursuit of happiness just seems a bore.
Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope eyes.
Cocaine.
Notice how youth's perception of drug use changed so quickly. The Stones sang against it in Mother's Little Helper, but the Beatles sang in favor. The kids took the hint and quickly embraced the very habits earlier music had chastised their parents for cultivating.
Smiling faces sometimes.
The The alienation of youth against modern urban society has proceeded to the point where some rock and roll satirizes the lifestyle.
Well, you can't have that, but if you're an American citizen, you are entitled to a heated, kidney-shaped pool, a microwave oven, don't watch the food cook, a diner gym, I'll personally demonstrate it in the privacy of your own home, a king-size, Titanic, unsinkable Molly Brown waterbed with polybendum, a foolproof plan, and an airtight alibi, real simulated Indian jewelry, a Gucci shoe tree, a year's supply of antibiotics, a personally autographed picture of Randy Mantooth and Bob Dylan's new unlisted phone number, a beautifully restored Third Reich swizzle stick, Rosemary's Baby, a dream date in knee pads with Paul Williams, a new Matador, a new Mastodon, a Maverick, a Mustang, a Montego, a Merc Montclair, a Mark IV, a Meteor, a Mercedes, an MG, or a Malibu, a Mort Moriarty, a Maserati, a Mack truck, a Mazda, a new Monza, or a moped, a Winnebago. Hell, I heard of Winnebagos, we're giving them away. Or how about a McCullough chainsaw? A Las Vegas wedding, a Mexican divorce, a solid gold Kama Sutra coffee pot, or a baby's arm holding an apple.
Other lyrics admit the music itself is a slave to that lifestyle. In addition to rock music, my generation has also become the first to be profoundly affected by television. We suddenly saw the gory details of the world close up, in color, with instant replay. Like us, many rock musicians are still slaves to that little box of magic.
I may be vile and pernicious, but you can't look away. I make you think I'm delicious with the stuff that I say. I'm the best you can get. Have you guessed me yet? I'm the sign oozing out from your TV set.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out.
And we'll spend the night together watching television.
I never come by.
Television.
Completely go away.
Television.
I understand why.
Television.
Twin soldiers and
the 70s were a time of changing views. Instead of looking out into space and far into the future, pessimism and economics forced us to shorten our sights and downgrade our expectations. That change has fueled the cynicism, and it shows in today's music. Compare comments on Killing by the Gun from the Beatles in 1967 and Queen in 1981. Doesn't Queen reflect how we've become hardened to an event like the attempted assassination of President Reagan? Is it good to be this blasé about violence? It appears today's crop of teens may be taking anarchy more seriously than their immediate elders.
They don't need no.
It's a long way from 1963. It is ironic that one of rock's most brilliant lyricists was gunned down without apparent cause on a New York street. John Lennon had much to say to all of us.
Talk about destruction. Don't you know that you can count me out?
Everywhere there's lots of piggies living piggy lives. You can see them out for dinner with their piggy wives. Clutching forks and knives to eat the bacon.
Does rock move the thinking of the masses, or does it only reflect their thoughts? In Lennon's case, it may have accomplished both. The power of the mass media makes it possible for the John Lennons of this world to wield tremendous influence over impressionable minds. The John Lennons of this world make news as well as reflect the news in song.
It's just crazy the fact that I would say something like Beatles are bigger than Jesus, and the article would be around 3 or 4 months in Britain and Europe, and nobody even looked at it. And then suddenly it would become the most important thing ever.
Shake the need for coal by stimulating birth control. We're wanting less to eat.
It's Good News Week.
Doctors finding many ways of wrapping brains in metal trays to keep us from the heat.
The variety of rock lyrics that have tested our ears for a quarter century is mind-boggling. But we can infer from rock that life for the baby boom generation has hardened from youthful optimism to the serious business of making a living. We've realized it's a tough world, and so is rock and roll. The optimism and the pessimism are strikingly juxtaposed by the band Styx on the album Grand Illusion.
Yeah!
Wilson for Sunday Sunday.
When Sunday Sunday returns, Brett Halliday on location with Louise Fletcher, the best actress of 1976. She was Hateful Nurse Ratchet in Cuckoo's Nest. And Mediating the Split, part two of Bev Bowman's series on surviving divorce. And that's Sunday Sunday for this week. John Wilson and Dan Haber toiled for hours selecting the most representative rock lyrics for a study of music as a force of change. Dan Haber's story on Unwarping Records came to him in about five parts. Brett Halliday met Louise Fletcher backstage in Toronto. Melanie Refus flew off to New York, where she met the Bird Shrink. Bev Bowman will be back next month with games played by children of the divorced. And John Crispo provided an analysis of Roger Ward's efficient report on the story of Japanese success. On behalf of the entire Sunday Sunday staff, this is Robert Halliday looking forward to another visit next week.
This has been Sunday Sunday. Produced by Clint Nickerson. Executive producer, Robert Halliday. Technical producers, Dan Haber, John Howard. Our reporters return in 7 days.